This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Radio, and I'm sitting here today with Ashley Handley, who is the foster care coordinator for the Department of Family Services in Johnson and Sheridan County. Hello, Ashley. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
Thank you very much for spending some time with us. Ashley, we were hoping that we could talk a little bit about foster parenting and what it is and what it's like in Johnson County. What are you looking for? And maybe somebody thinks, oh, I could, you know, I know there may be some kids out there and maybe I could offer something. But I think it's a very complicated issue and maybe people are reticent to jump in. So I'm hoping that you can tell us a little bit about what being a foster parent entails.
Yeah, so Johnson County is in need of foster parents. And so really what that means is we need safe homes to provide for children in care. When we're looking at foster homes or foster care in general, it can be emergency placements, short-term, long-term, and even respite care, where you're just available kind of on a case-by-case basis to provide, you know, babysitter-type needs in a certified, safe foster care setting. You know, foster parents, they share same duties as, you know, typical, you know, air quotes, typical parents. They provide a safe and nurturing home. They meet the child's needs, whether it's housing, transportation, love, affection, things like that. But they don't hold that parental, legal duty that a typical biological parent would.
So they're sort of in care of an individual or a couple, and they're sort of looking after a child on your behalf, trying to create as much of a home and loving environment as possible. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah. So when a child comes into care, our office is notified by other outside entities, and then they look to us for placement of that child. So for children in care, we are looking for certified foster parents who meet that criteria. So they've been background checked. Their homes have been inspected. They've had certified training. And so they meet the requirements by the state of Wyoming to be classified as a certified foster parent.
Okay, so you mentioned some of those things. What kind of things do you, what kind of assessments are there that you really need to make sure that you can provide? Do you have to be a married couple to be able to foster?
Nope. So to become a foster parent, kind of just in a nutshell, we do a general application, we do background checks, then we do training, which is online and self-paced, and then the home study. So the home study is a social summary interview that I do on the family, as well as a home inspection to make sure that the home is safe and meets the child's needs.
And so if you, I mean, is it a hard test to pass, or does everybody pass it? I mean, is it, how difficult is it? What exactly are you looking for?
Yeah. So background checks, some of the disqualifying factors we're looking for are, you know, felony charges, real criminal stuff within the last 5 years. You know, so we look at a lot for background checks. We run full background checks, including fingerprints. The training is kind of what seems to be the barrier for most people, because you do have to be motivated and you have to want to do it, because it's self-paced, and there's nobody saying every Monday at 5 o'clock you're going to sit in a room with a trainer for 2 hours. You have to be motivated to want to get certified, and so the training is, it can be tedious, but again, we want to make sure that people who are looking to become foster parents and are becoming certified have that knowledge and education and training prior to just taking on a child who may come with additional trauma.
So that training you mentioned, that it's not a sort of in class, in person at a designated time. I'm assuming then it's online, is that correct?
Correct, yep.
And how long does it take to, how many hours do you really need to sit in front of the computer?
Yeah, so the main training that is the most tedious, it's about 27 hours in length. Then we have another training that's about 2 hours, which discusses sensible parenting for children in foster care. And then if a family is not first aid and CPR certified, we also offer that online too, which is about 4 hours.
And so you don't have to have children of your own?
Nope.
Necessarily?
Nope.
Do you need, what can be your own kind of relationship status?
We don't put any barriers on relationship status, how you identify, what that looks like. You can be a single parent, You can have no children, you can be a married couple, you can be in just a dating relationship. There really is no...
Okay, yeah. So there's no discrimination or barriers according to... and how do you think it works with introducing a child or children who may just be temporarily or short-term, you know, in your guardianship, in your stewardship? It's very different if you have your own children in the home or not. How does that factor in for maybe a parent who's thinking, you know, I have some love to give here. I have a nice home and an extra room, and I would like to add some care to a child who may be struggling through no fault of their own. How do you think it works with other children already in the home?
So when I do the home study, I do ask questions along with the adults in the home. I do ask the children a couple questions, you know, do they have any thoughts? Do they have any worries or fears, or what do they like about the idea? So I do get a general sense of their idea on it as well. The other thing too is most families, of course, when I say most, all of them, they do talk with their children, and mm-hmm. you know, if their children aren't on board, most of the time they actually don't pursue forward with it. And a lot of the times when I certify a family, how they look at what age of child they can possibly take into their home, it's usually based upon the children in their house too. And so the children in the home are always taken into consideration and what the family is wanting.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's no typical, but you may be seeing trends. I mean, are there more kind of age groups of children that seem to be coming, you know, through your hands right now? Are you seeing everything from babies to what age is the oldest to foster? Is that 18? You would age out of that.
Yes.
Okay, so it could be any age.
Yes.
And do you like to keep biological families together if all the children are being removed from the home? Is that something?
Yeah, so of course we want to keep children together. You know, when the children are removed from the home, that's prior to DFS's involvement. And so sometimes, you know, an officer or a pediatrician who have the eligibility to remove a child, they will sometimes not always remove all of the children, just the child in imminent danger.
Mm-hmm.
So of course there are times when the children aren't able to be together, but when siblings are removed, we do try to keep them together. You know, unfortunately, sometimes that's not always possible, but we really do try our best.
So how much continuation are you looking to provide for a child? I mean, Sheridan and Johnson counties are relatively small communities. Johnson County is significantly smaller than Sheridan, but are you trying to keep children going to the same school in the same class, or are you wanting to move them completely to something completely different, so maybe to a neighboring county? How does it actually work in practice?
Yeah, so of course we want the children to be in their school of origin, their community, things that they're familiar with, because that's the child's, that's everything that they know. You know, unfortunately, because like you just had mentioned, Johnson County is so much significantly smaller, the number of foster homes in Johnson County is significantly fewer than what it is in Sheridan County. So unfortunately, there have been and are times where children from Johnson County do have to be placed in homes in Sheridan County, which then again, you know, causes additional barriers. And so if we can increase the numbers in Johnson County, we can eliminate some of those barriers, whether it's children in different schools, as frequent contact with siblings, things like that.
So what... This is something that you do every day. You look for families who are willing to foster and take children for an unknown amount of time. Maybe it's just, as you say, a very short day or two here or there, or maybe it's a longer arrangement. What are the main barriers that you're experiencing these days in Johnson County?
Barriers as far as what's in just placement
able,
in general?
Able to find willing families.
I think it's just a number of families that want to be foster homes. I think that is the biggest barrier. And I think another barrier, too, is just sometimes some of the behaviors or challenges that families or children have, which can create other dynamics and troubling situations. But I think in general, just the number of foster homes in Johnson County is the biggest barrier for placement.
So what reassurance could you give to a family who are maybe considering, you know, the idea of fostering, who are prepared to go through the training and open their home? What reassurance can you give to them that it's worth it?
The biggest thing that I tell any foster family is, although of course it's going to be hard, raising a child is hard. Any child, whether it's your own biologically or a foster child, it's going to be hard. But the rewards that you see when you take placement of a foster kiddo, the milestones that they meet while they're with you, because they now have structure, consistency, routine, things that maybe they didn't have before. They meet their milestones, and you see just how much growth they make, which really is, it's tremendous, and that's what warms your heart and really makes it worth it.
So what does success look like as a foster parent? Because is that then you build such a great rapport and relationship that it always ends in adoption, or you know, what do you say would make a very successful fostering arrangement?
Yeah, you know, our main goal at the Department of Family Services is child reunification. So a success story would be that child reunifying with their family. You know, a lot of foster families don't go in to provide foster care with the ultimate goal of adoption. So for us, the child returning home is a success story.
Okay, and that obviously is incumbent upon the bio parents to be able to restore their life to some kind of order and able to take their children home again.
Correct.
To sort of live with them.
Yes.
Successfully.
Yes, okay. Yeah.
Okay, so what is a foster parent actually responsible for? You get the kid to school, you get them home, you make sure that they're washed and dressed and so on. What about behavioral challenges?
You know, the responsibilities, they can look, they're all the same, but they can look a little bit different just based on the child's needs. So, you know, provide a loving home for them. Make sure you're maintaining contact, you know, with the department. If there's any concerns, make sure you're addressing them. As far as behavioral challenges, if the child is struggling behaviorally, you're going to want to let the caseworker assigned to the case know so that we can implement services and get that child as much services and behavior intervention as possible. And so just keeping everybody updated, because they're the one on the front hand working with the child day in and day out, living with the child, seeing everything. So just maintaining contact regularly with the workers so that everybody's in the loop. And
so who would they call you? Would a foster parent call you and say, I don't know what's going on here, I'm seeing some things, you know suddenly, you know, the child I'm here, or the two children that I'm looking after, you know, they've become very withdrawn, or they've become aggressive, or they won't go to school? Or do they then call you? Who do they call?
So every child that comes into care, the case itself is assigned to a caseworker.
Mm-hmm.
So in Johnson County, for example, it would be assigned to one of the workers over at the DFS office there. And they could contact that worker directly and say, hey, you know, air quotes, little Johnny, he's starting to be really closed off. I'm concerned about X, Y, and Z. That caseworker would then ask, you know, whatever questions they felt was appropriate, and then they could move forward that way. I am also always available to answer any questions. You know, the caseworkers are very busy, so I make myself very available, you know, as a support for mm-hmm. foster parents. And so I'm also present. And then if you're looking at a different light too, let's say the child is already in, let's say, therapy services, you would also want to relay that to the child's therapist. Hey, little Johnny's pretty closed off today. I'm not sure what's happening. Just so everybody can make sure that child's
okay.
needs are being met.
So there's a financial burden for this too, though. How does that work between the foster family and DFS? You're bringing a child in, that's another mouth to feed, there's more gas, maybe running them to here, there. Who takes them to medical appointments they may need, or, you know, maybe some kind of visitation with their bio parents? How does that work?
Yeah. So every child that is placed with a certified foster family, that foster family is issued a monthly foster care stipend based upon that child's age. So 0 to 5, 6 to 13, and so forth. And so 0 to 5 starts at $664 per month per child, and the older the child gets, the higher the monthly foster care subsidy is. That subsidy is used to help the foster family get food, help pay for gas, clothing, activities for that child. So it's to help cushion some of those costs when you're caring for a child. And then if the child does need daycare, the foster family is automatically eligible for child care assistance, irregardless of their income. If the child needs services for WIC and they're under 5, they're automatically eligible, irregardless of income. And then when a child first comes into care, you know, where most families are not prepared to say, I'm ready to take a child 0 to 18, I have everything on hand. That's not normal.
So, yes, I mean, you may find, because the nature of fostering is that it's very unpredictable.
Yes.
You don't know whether it's a tiny, tiny infant that you may need to take care of, or a 16-year-old, you know, with a size 14 foot. You have no idea what
right.
it is either. And so, but that may be short term too. So, do you think the money works? Does it go around well enough?
I do. And to start, so for example, if you got a call, you know, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they said, you know, we have an infant, a six-month-old infant, are you open to taking placement? If they said yes, but I don't have, you know, any infant belongings, our office would do our best to get you clothes, bottles, formula, diapers, so that we're not just leaving you with nothing. We want you to be as situated and comfortable as well as the child. So we do our best to get families everything they need up front, and then that monthly stipend helps kind of the ongoing process.
So where would you scramble and get those things from? How would you do that? Do you want donations?
So we have a nonprofit grant organization here in our community called Sheridan Foster Parent Exchange, and so she is the organization is on call 24/7, and so if we need items, they get us a ginormous bag, and they either go to the foster parent's house or they bring it to our office, and we deliver it to the foster parent.
And is that the same? What happens in Johnson County?
The same thing.
The same thing.
Yep.
Okay, so that's great. So that maybe if somebody has something that they think, I no longer need this anymore, maybe they could
yes.
donate
yes.
it to
yes.
you.
Yep.
And maybe you'll give me the details, and I can put those together with this.
Yes.
So thank you. So, Ashley, I think, you know, we need to acknowledge that we live in a slightly different world. Our COVID epidemic here in this little region was a pretty light touch compared to many other communities around the nation. But have you seen any residual effects from the global pandemic as we experienced it here?
Yes. You know, when COVID hit, there were a lot of changes. Everybody was required to quarantine. You know, we were not going to school. Children were not going to school every day, you know, in the physical sight of a teacher. Pediatricians' offices were very limited on, you know, what children were coming in. Services such as mental health and speech and occupational therapy, they were not being provided at the same capacity. So the number of mandatory reporters, of course, decreased. And so with that, when children are not going to school, parents are struggling to not go to work because they need to caretake for their children. You know, that creates financial burden, which creates, you know, housing strains, just typical life barriers. When people are strained, their mental health decreases. And so sometimes some people will look to substance use or other means to cope. And so what we're seeing now is the residual effects of just that. Kids are going to school regularly. Pediatricians' offices are seeing children regularly, families regularly, and the number of mandatory reports that are coming in have just increased.
So that's why you say at the beginning of this conversation, you said that you needed foster parents in Johnson County, because
yes.
you think you're seeing more children in need of a foster situation for an undetermined amount of time, and so you really need more homes where you could potentially place people.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So how would they go about it? If somebody was interested, what would they need to do?
They can contact me directly, or if it's easier, you can contact the local office over in Buffalo, and they will direct you to my direct line. If you want to kind of pursue and read up a little bit more, you can go on to our online DFS website, and you can read about policies, what it is to become a foster parent, what are the steps to become a foster parent, and then there is also a little subsection for additional information or inquiry, and you can put your information there, and then it'll come back to me as well.
Okay, great, and I will make sure that those things are all posted next to this audio file too, so people can easily reach out and find out more. So, Ashley Handley, thank you very much indeed for your time talking about fostering, a very important issue in our communities, both Sheridan and Johnson counties. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.